love everyone. Real big now, come on. You just got Yahweh's attention. You might be seated. Whether you know it or not, you need Yahweh desperately. And the closer the end gets, the more we're going to be hated, the more we're going to reveal His truth, which will bring the hatred, of course. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The heart disease. You know, I told you last week that one in every three is a diabetic now. One in every three people is a diabetic. Now, they're saying this week, one in every four is bipolar. This is coming down to what we have said now for several years, that everyone on the face of the earth has a disease, and of course it's caused from sin. And the world is really sick, brother. You can't imagine how sick. The article that I wanted was on bed bugs, and they said that the bed bugs are now, they tested some bed bugs this week, and they all had MRSA. That's the drug-resistant deadly disease. Now, they're getting this from man, but they're passing it from people to people. And the ways that they're saying to prevent this is that one of the ways is stay out of motels or apartment houses where other people have stayed. We told you that before they did. Also, if buying used clothing, I don't think anyone would do that here in the house of Yahweh, but I certainly hope not. But also, they said if you buy clothing at all, when you buy clothing, you need to be able to unload it at home into your washing machine. Now, I've told you this too, and we told you this years ago. This stuff is terribly unclean. The scriptures, that's where we get it. And what we're getting from the scriptures, what Yahweh has showed us as part of this last day's message of the two witnesses, Yahweh has showed this and shows that He knows all of this is taking place. And He warned us in advance, and of course He trained us for the purpose of showing this to the world, and also at the same time bringing forth the message of peace, the peaceful solution, character, education. He has made that possible also in these last days. Now guess what else the Journal of American Medical Association study reported? Heart disease deaths 4 times higher with low salt intake. What did the scripture say? And our young priest was hammering on it this morning. You know, I remember having a dispute with Jacob, my brother, about salt. Prevention Magazine was coming out against salt. And Rodell, I think, is his name. And he was coming out against salt, and my brother was saying we needed to cut down on salt. And he said, he quoted one of the statements that, you know, we could buy grapefruit and, you know, healthy fruit and then kill it with salt. And I said, I don't believe that's true. I wouldn't believe that because of what the scripture says about salt, that salt is healthy. And I don't know what basis he would have in saying something like that. But now this was like I was 18 years old at the time. It's been years and years ago since this took place, or maybe a little older than that, maybe in the 20s, but it's been many years ago that I remember that. But I was standing up, standing strong at that time on Yahweh's word, and I've never been disappointed in standing strong on his word. I've been disappointed in going the other way several times. But it's four times higher in low salt intake now. Disease, heart disease, deaths. The deaths from heart disease are four times higher with low salt intake. Journal of American Medical Association. You need to, you can get that and read it if you want to. The date, 5-10 came out. In Thessalonians, we see that this sin, it's taken over. And of course, it's called a man of sin here in 2 Thessalonians. And we see, he says that in this time period now think of what he says, he tells you is going to take place. He says there's going to be a falling away first. He's talking about the coming of the Savior. And he said it won't be till there's a falling away. So we know there's a falling away that takes place. Now, there's another meaning to this that the lexicon show us. There's actually two meanings. The last being a falling away in the last days when this is revealed. The first meaning was, and I'll read you this in a little while, that they from their teachings, they ruined the teachings of the Holy Scriptures to where they're meaningless to salvation. They won't bring you salvation. So this, of course, has gone on, and Daniel predicted, if you remember, that he would fight against the saints, that this man of sin, or system, it's a system of sin that started, of course, with Nimrod, as Yahweh shows, from the 12 tribes that he brought out of Egypt, as Genesis 49 shows. And then the system of higher learning, the schools of higher learning, brought forth this system of money making, but trying to make people, deceiving people into thinking that they would have salvation along with this deterioration or falling away from the truth, the plan of salvation. But Yahweh has a plan, and he tells us in advance what would take place, what will take place. And they're saying there would be a falling away in this time period from the truth as this man of sin is being revealed. That's part of the meaning of those words. But he's speaking, of course, of the prophecies, and the prophecies that I have brought you shows this very thing. Yeshua showed that there would be a falling away. Three out of four will fall away. They're called, they're brought here, and then three out of four falls away after the tests start coming, of course. After Satan lays a stumbling block in front of them, and it seems like she just knows, somehow or another, she knows what she can lay in front of them to cause them to leave. But as Yeshua himself said, there's a motive for it, an ulterior motive for the falling away. And, of course, the grass looks greener over yonder, as the old saying goes. And actually, it's more contaminated over yonder, too, but right now. And you can get your sickness and death. The only sure way I know of eternal life is in the one sent, the work prophesied. That's the only place Yahweh shows that he will give it. And he says over and over, I'm not going to have anything to do with any other work. It's just not there. If it's not in my plan, not in the prophecies, then I won't have anything to do with it. But you think of this right here, if you start, it's talking about the coming of the Savior, which we're looking for you know, closely now, because everything is coming together. Everything's coming together to build the temple, too. And that was one of the things that we've preached on for years, that temple is going to be rebuilt, as is shown right here in this chapter. And I've brought this many times. I brought it in the Mark of the Beast, pointing this out, that the temple was going to be built. And, of course, the Pope would actually take that over. Well, now I've showed you how all the artifacts is in Rome. They've got them waiting there. Now, don't the two of those things go hand in hand, that the Pope would take his seat there now? If the temple was stood today and he brought back the artifacts, would he not go in to make sure that this is all taken care of properly? You see how it's all coming together. Kohan Yedidiah, the great Kohan Yedidiah. Praise Yahweh. He brought out that Jordan owned this old city and the Temple Mount. Well, of course, that's a fact, you know. They own it. They have somewhat say on everything that goes on there. And is kind of guiding the situation. Well, it just so occurred that the king of Jordan has been keeping up with the house of Yahweh. He's written us a few times now, and he's now talking about the temple. Why on earth would he be talking about the temple at a time like this? But he says he studied our model of the temple, and it's the best, he says, the very best. And he says he studied all of them that's been put out, and this one is the very best. Now, that's about as far as he's gone at this time, of course. But I'm telling you what the Scripture says and what we're looking forward to seeing, and I'm telling you some things I've told you before about salt. Now they're saying the same thing that I said, what, 30 years ago here, or 40 here in Abilene? I've defended it here. I've defended it practically all of my life in early days. And I would take my tobacco sack full of salt. That's all I had to carry it in at the time. and of course I would go to the garden. I would pull up onions out of the ground, peel them off, sprinkle them with salt, and eat them. Radishes, green beans, English peas, whatever was growing in the garden. Go to the field of corn, pull back the shuck on it and eat it raw with salt. Very tasty food. I ate a lot of raw food at that time. But I sprinkled everything with salt, not knowing that Yahweh had commanded me to, but yet I was being led to do so. And now we find out, science finds out, that unless you have salt in your body, you don't have the love that Yahweh wants you to have, and you don't have peace. And if you don't have this, you don't have the stress relief that you need for my job. Because it is stressful. It's hard when you see somebody pulling away from Yahweh, and you know that you're going to see them thrown into the lake of fire, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and this trial goes on for quite some time, and you know that there's nothing you can do to help them at that time, and it seems like nothing you can do to help now. But you see this, and Yahweh says, yes, Israel, there's going to be a falling away. And in this time period, as well as the 3 out of 4, as well as a great falling away that took place, that I've showed you in history, the history of the Holy Scriptures, that took place and exactly how it took place, how they turned from Yahweh. But he's also revealing the man of sin, which means a prophecy is going to be revealed to the world and facts along with this prophecy of who it is and what system it was that brought this down, which that's what we're doing at this time. And those that are up on it know that this is the 12 tribes that are bringing this forth. The 12 tribes, they're the only family that he dealt with, that he has dealt with. We are all part of that 12 tribes. Every one of you here is a part of that 12 tribes. If you weren't, you wouldn't be here. But you can also fall away if you're not careful and you let a root of bitterness spring up within you where this starts and then it leads to others. But it's speaking of a prophecy and, of course, a great work that is going to take place here. If you think about a person, speaking of two people, and he's saying, you're going to take this to all nations. And then it includes the people, of course, in Revelation 11. It shows the two witnesses is going to take this message. And then it shows they'll know the true message. How on earth could I tell you that salt was healthy by the Holy Scripture? And now the science is proving that fact to us. Now, have you ever noticed that once we bring these things out, Yahweh then starts bringing it out in the world from the scientists? There's another marvelous fact that you're going to hear here very soon, maybe next week, as early as next week, I hope, that you're going to marvel. You're going to wonder, how in the world did that man ever know that? If you got a brain at all, you're going to be admiring the fact that Yahweh has put this for our knowledge, for us to tell before anyone else knows about it. Don't miss next week. Don't miss any Sabbath. You break the Sabbath if you miss it, and it's possible for you to be here. But then, though that scripture, you know, Revelations is so screwed up, and Yahweh tells us that it would be. Yahweh shows us in Jeremiah. But even in spite of all that, he says, you're going to carry this truth, and it's going to be perfected and brought forth to all nations. And that's exactly what's coming forth at this time. And we didn't get it from science. We got it just strictly from his holy scriptures here. But Revelation 11 was only a part of it, of course. I know you're remembering Isaiah 44 and Isaiah 43, which gives the names of them and shows their brothers and then says, let them foretell this. Well, let them. Now, here's two goop fiends out here at Yahweh's saying, two hillbillies, Oklahoma hillbillies, that he's saying, let them foretell them. And the only thing they know, the only thing they've learned throughout their lives is the Holy Scriptures. And he's saying, let them tell them, which means it's in them scriptures right there. You get that? It's not in the school books. Because these two men were brought up in the ends of the earth where everybody was blown away from there with dust storms. And Yahweh is saying their names will be this. This is their names. Now, you can't possibly mistake that. And then he says one is going to change his name, even gives you the names, and then gives you the meaning of it as the great Kohan Yehuda brought out. How'd you think he got that? From the Holy Scriptures themselves, it tells you this. Buffalo Bill Hawkins and its meaning. So there's no way you could mistake it. There's not two people on the face of the earth, one with JG and another brother, Buffalo Bill. That became an insult to me. I said, you know, it don't even go with my job that Yahweh has given me. So I got to change it, I said. Lo and behold, it was predicted that I would before I ever did, before I ever thought about it. It was predicted. Now, this is our maker, our creator, who has brought you here to train for a job, the greatest job that could ever be offered to anyone. Man are malakim, but it's only offered to us. And the authority that we receive in this time period that is only offered to us has never been offered to any other group before. We are going to have a number one position in the house of Yahweh forever, brother, you and I. It's that great pearl, you know, that Yahshua talked about, that you was willing to give up anything to get your hands on it. Well, that's it. We've got it here. We've got prophecies galore, and this is the proof. This is the proof above all the gods and the god worshipers, the fact that Yahweh alone can predict in advance what is going to take place. And you're seeing it now every day. The things that we brought out from the house of Yahweh, no one else knew on the face of the earth. No one else could figure these prophecies out. They have struggled on them for years, the commentators say, and nothing ever made sense. But now they're opened up to your ears only. It's so amazing. And he says, none of the wicked will understand. And lo and behold, none of the wicked do. At this time, they don't. But he also shows that about 2 billion is going to. We can see from the millions now that we're reaching, somewhere around 5 million a week that we're reaching now. New ones. That's 5 million new ones a week. Yeah. That this is an enormous number that is now contacting the house, and of course it's like the Samaritan work that Yahshua started with the Samaritan woman, and he goes to her and says, "I'm the one. I'm the bread that came down from heaven." And he told her a few things that she was already looking for, already looking for. There's a person here, a woman that I met during the feast, had an appointment with her, whose husband, before he died. Now, here is some of the things that clue you in that Yahweh is working. He's got a work that he calls them. But she's an elderly woman that has struggled to get here from a long distance, and now she's in the commercials. But her husband told her before he died, he says, you know, the two witnesses are going to be brothers. Now, that's an understanding that I would say if you were a betting person, the odds of finding a person that would know that little bit about the two witnesses, the odds would be extreme. But this person knew that they would be brothers. We've had people who have seen visions of the house of Yahweh inside the house of Yahweh. In fact, they described that sage to me before they came here. In a dream, described the stage, the old stage in this sanctuary, and described it. This was a woman also that described it to her husband before they ever came to a feast. And when they came here, they knew that this was the right place because she had told it to him. So like Yahshua, when he put this in the mind of this Samaritan woman, and she started spreading this throughout. Well, that's what's taking place now with these contacts with the house. And, of course, the king of Jordan. There's no telling how many things Yahweh brought about and how many people Yahweh brought about to whisper in his ear certain things. to where he would do and be prepared to do something that was prophesied thousands of years ago. This is miracles that we can't prove is a miracle. I don't want to prove that it's a miracle. I want you to be able to prove and see the proof in your mind and in your heart that somebody besides mankind had to do this. Mankind can't do these things. They don't have that power. Well, here is where Yahweh stands out above the gods. The gods don't even attempt to. In fact, they avoid prophecy. At the best they can do is magical tricks, trickery, as this chapter also calls it, and calls deception. Like the woman that prayed to John Paul II after he was dead and she was healed of Parkinson's disease, and then the doctors found out later she was lying that she still had Parkinson's disease. Well, now they got to find another miracle because they're fixing to deify this man. And they're going to do it. Why would they want to do that? So you can contact the dead on behalf of the living. Now, this is a big deception that is going on with this man of sin, this system of sin, because they're saying to you, go ahead and sin. You have an immortal soul. You're going to live forever. Yukiska says you're lying. You're a bunch of lying people like dogs that return to their own vomit. You won't live forever. Every soul that sins, it will die. And they say, well, that's just the first death. Well, there's another verse. You better start hunting it now because there's another one that shows the second death. And that's what it says. This is the second death where you'll be resurrected, as Yeshua said, but some to shame and contempt. And then is when you will have the weeping and gnashing of teeth because you didn't latch on to these things as they were proven to you. And of course, you fell away. But in order to reveal this man of sin and know who's going to reveal it, then here's the prophecies that must take place in Revelation 11, Isaiah 44, Isaiah 2, these two people had to establish the house of Yahweh in these last days, which showed that the house of Yahweh wasn't established. If they had to establish, think about what a miracle that is, if you want to call it a miracle. He knew that there wouldn't be a house of Yahweh. I will remain in the house of Yahweh forever, the famous 23rd Psalm. And yet there's no house of Yahweh. But there's a prophecy that said, I will establish my house in the last generation. How can you deny that? And I'll have two people from the ends of the earth, which Oklahoma is the ends of the earth. Oklahoma. That part, by the way, that part of the ends of the earth reached up to Canada, included parts of Canada. Did you know that? There's a great prophecy about this. Also included Texas. Did you know that? Well, it's there in prophecy. You got to be familiar. You got to know about these prophecies, and you don't learn them in 4-hour study. The prophecy of Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, and then a prophecy that says where it'll be established. In the ends of the earth, but in a land that's not yet established. A Babylonian land, which meant there had to be Babylonian people there at the time for it to be a Babylonian land. There had to be the Babylonian people. but the land wouldn't be established. Think about a miracle. How could you possibly deny such a miracle as that? And there it is. And from the ends of the earth, I will bring two men that's been trained by a woman and shows you that woman and actually how Yahweh protected that woman to sit there every night, come and say, come on now, let's get around the table here so we can read the scriptures. This was an every night thing. Every night, bits and pieces of this was going into our minds. But only two out of the family, only two out of this whole family, and it's such a coincidence, I know, but their names happened to be Buffalo Bill Hawkins was one, and the other one was J.G., that Yahweh said would change his name or just call himself by the name of Jacob. And this was all done thousands of years ago in the days of Isaiah, the prophet. Now, you think a man could do this? No way. And when people want to call themselves the witnesses, you know, they don't know what they're up against, you know, when they come against Yahweh like this. It just can't occur. There is no mistaking where his work is. Now, to refuse that work, you know, you can certainly do that. And I hate it, but, you know, Yahweh shows that there'd be a falling away at this time. In this generation, three out of four, maybe even a bigger one, and as this prophecy here might indicate. And then, of course, the prophecy of Yahshua. You'd have to know about that because Yahshua is a big part of this work. In fact, he's high priest over the house of Yahweh. And this first prophecy of that and the scepter of righteousness that he would bring forth, the righteousness he would bring forth through his donkey's colts in these last days to all the world, started in Genesis, 49th chapter of Genesis. When a man stood there saying, I'll show you what Yahweh has showed me is going to take place with you boys here in the last days. Now, he had already prophesied you're going to be a multitude of nations. That came to pass, a multitude of nations. Well, of course, now they're finding what they call Jewish blood. Jewish blood in every nation. They're so surprised. Now, this hasn't been going on for a long time. You know, the DNA studies have just started not too many years ago. In fact, when I heard about it first, I said, I've got to learn about this because I see this in the Holy Scriptures. So I've got to learn about it. And that was when I was still living before it was taken away from me, the homestead. Still living at that homestead when I made the long study in DNA because I wanted to make sure that I understood it. You remember that, right? Yahweh. We have people with us that put together the prophetic word at that time, and they knew what was going on in my house at that time. Well, this had to be learned, and of course it had to be taught, and it takes years to do so. It takes years to prepare persons. Well, that's what Revelation says. I'll prepare this woman and this woman for a time of training, educating, preparation. That's what the word means. That's in Revelation 12. Now, we have that on tape already or in the sermon, in the book of Yisrael. We have it in the book of Yisrael, so you can get that sermon. I'm not going to go back and bring it again, but it's all there. Years ago, that was brought here in this sanctuary. I remember certain things that took place when I brought it, and certain people fell away. They got angry and fell away because I brought that sermon. You remember Yahshua said he brought truth at times, and he said then that some certain people no longer walk with him after that. Well, we've seen that take place here in the house of Yahweh. That very thing, because we brought forth certain truth. It seems to me like the people who come regularly and they're looking forward to being taught by Yahweh each week, they're the ones that's grounded. They get themselves grounded in the truth. But when you miss out, praise Yahweh, when you miss a Sabbath, you don't grow. But you go back a step or two, probably a couple of steps. And the next Sabbath may pick you up a step, but if you miss the next one, you fall back some more. This is the reason they call it backsliding. Well, that's what that word means when you miss a Sabbath of education at Yahweh's house, because that's where Yahweh teaches you. And he tells you, go to the priest and then study. You'd have to study with them as Moshe did. Remember at the burning bush, the one that never goes out, the lamp that never goes out. And when you miss these, then, of course, you lose out and you step backwards a few steps in your spiritual growth. Well, the history, learning the history, it would probably, to be a decent teacher, I would say, of the history of the 12 tribes, it would take at least 25 years education into that. Because it takes more to be a history teacher of the 12 tribes. It would take five times what it would take you to be a doctor, a doctor of medicine. And I think they take about 8 years. It might take more than that, but 25 years at least before I would consider a person educated enough in the Holy Scriptures to teach history of the 12 tribes. There's so many things that you've got to learn and then put it all together. And of course, it's got to be together in your mind before you can put it together, because no book does this for you. You can have Bible helps, dictionaries, which will show you names and words and the meanings of them, and you can have commentaries and lexicons that get a little bit deeper into these words and show you some history, but no book on earth that I know of, no person on earth except what you see here, can take these bits and pieces and put them together, put the puzzle together, the plan of Yahweh together, and actually teach it. So you can see that Yahweh has put a great deal of work behind this, and made, because he's the one that guided it. So he guided certain people before I was born, that brought about certain events that brought certain people to the ends of the earth to begin with. He brought all of that to take place, and he had just the right books in an old country schoolhouse to start my education in the world. He saw to it that there was nothing there to spoil what he had already placed in my mind to begin with. And I remember, and I told my brother, Jacob, this, I remembered these days in my house, and he said, you couldn't possibly remember that. He said, I don't think you were more than 2 years old at that time. And I said, and I told him certain events that took place. And he remembered the same thing, and he said, I don't see how this is possible. But I can remember being taught by mother and dad, but mostly mother. Mother would always call us together and start the teaching process. And I remember the lamp lights, and I remember one night a lamp globe getting broken out by one of the boys and acting stupid, of course. That's what stupidity gets you. Well, we didn't have quite enough light, because without a globe, you know, you didn't have the right amount of light to read by, but we didn't stop. We kept reading. And I remembered that incident, and I remember the glass shattering, and Mother said, "Leave it alone till the study is over." And that's the only time that ever took place that I can remember. And Jacob, he finally remembered this event taking place. And he said, couldn't have been more than 2 to 3 years old at that time. But I remember that, and Mother insisting that just sit down, behave yourself till this study is over, then we'll get the glass up. So you could see the importance of that study. Now, today, what do we do? What do we do today with our children? Do you know anyone that's being trained outside of the house of Yahweh with anything besides a damnable television set? I don't. You know, we sock this in front of them to get them out of our hair as we speak, and our children are they're lacking. You know, they're not getting the training they need. It should be as Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 tells you. Train them. Bring up that child. Diligently teaching those things. And this should be coming from the mother who's raising the child until the child is turned over to the priest, who on a regular basis keeps putting it into that child's mind. Now, this is what we're told in Scripture to do. And I'm the only one on the face of the earth that's telling anybody to do this at this time. But I had to be trained in order to do this job and bring it forth. Now, if you're lacking, it's not because I didn't teach you to do this, because I've been teaching it for years. Someone said we're not teaching the laws as much as we used to. And I said, not so. The character education is the law, and it teaches you how to deal with the law on a personal basis, person to person, day after day after day. That's what it teaches you. And if you follow that character education, the way it's taught, when you're dealing with your problems with your people to people, you will develop or can develop in yourself that perfect relationship. Now, if that person over there don't want that perfect relationship, that's up to them, and they can refuse it and go stubbornly to somebody else that will fight with them. Which there's plenty out there in the world that will fight. But it is being taught. The laws are being taught, and how to use those laws in your life, called statutes. They're being taught. It's called also Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. That's what it's taught, the statutes of Yahweh. And the judgments of Yahweh. It's also called judgments. That is the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Let me see if I can find it here. In the work on this chapter, scholars and struggling after it, in Thessalonians, except there come the falling away first. Now, this is the writing on the wording here and what it actually means. We have the original word, and they give it in our word, and it means apostasy. And by this term, we understand a dereliction of the essential principles of religious truth. That is, falling away from the principles, which is the character education program, falling away from this. Well, it had the peaceful solution, although it's named in the Holy Scriptures, It's not per se lined out. And when you say teach them diligently now, they had it then to teach diligently. And of course, a king could get this, a copy of it, and was supposed to get this, his laws, statutes, and judgments of Yahweh. And they could get this, but of course, their minds got more to business and politics than it did to learning or teaching the laws. When they rose up against Samuel in 1 Samuel 8 and says verses 1 through 9. Now, two things I want you to remember there. One thing, these people, Yahweh said, has always been this way. They were here, yes, in bodily form, but they never did convert. They never repent, never converted. And this has been going on since the days of Egypt, he said. They were here with you, but they took political leadership among the tribes. They were known as elders, which meant they were leaders in the tribes, the 12 tribes, but they never repented of their sins and never were converted. I know you've seen that in these last days, this very thing. People brought here, they'd come here because their wife says, come on, I'm going to the feast, you go with me or stay home, whatever. Or vice versa. But they're here in bodily form. But they don't grow with the house. So Yahshua said, in giving his parable, he said they take no root. They don't take a root into the house. Well, you take the root by learning the ways and put it to practice in your own life. But the word here means this dereliction of the essential principles of religious truth, that the falling away from those, which is the peaceable solution, character, education program. But it also means abandoning the house of Yahweh itself, or such, turning it into the truth of Yahweh, into a corruption of its doctrines, as renders the whole system completely inefficient to salvation. Well, of course, that's what we see in the Catholic Church today. We see everything that's contrary to what Yahweh brought out in his laws, statutes, and judgments. They don't even pretend to keep the laws or teach the laws today. And their system does not produce salvation. It produces wars, fighting, hatred, and death. But what this apostasy means is a question which has not yet and perhaps never will be answered to a general satisfaction. Meaning, we don't understand what this prophecy is. Of course, this particular book was written back in the 1800s. And of course, they didn't understand then. But if you remember, Daniel said, close the books. It won't be understood until the last days. And that's when Yahweh opens someone's mind to let it be understood in the last generation. Now, the man of sin, that man of sin, the same as the Hebrew expression by speaking of Beelzeal, the perverse, obstinate, and inquisitive, that means characterized in iniquity, by the way, the father of iniquity, which started with Nimrod, the Nimrod system, and that these titles are given to Adam after his fall. Now, this title, of course, belongs to Satan, but it's also given to those who become Satan's children. As Yahshua said, you are being guided by your teacher. And what that teacher teaches you to do, that's what you're going to do. Now, you won't get it from the house of Yahweh. You won't get it from Abel, but you'll get it from the bits and pieces that comes in that you allow into your mind. But that these titles are given to Adam after his fall, the son of perdition, the son of destruction, the same epithet that is given to Judas Iscariot, that was in Yochanan 17, verse 12. Let's turn there and read that, because I think there's something else that I can't remember what it was. Yochanan 17, verse 12. While I was with them, this is Yeshua praying for his 12 disciples, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name, that is, in the authority of Yahweh. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them are lost except the son of perdition. This is one that was a disciple, see, but fell away, and then his name was changed to son of perdition or son of Satan, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Son of that teaching. The son of that teaching. Well, back to the schools of higher learning, but I don't have time to go in and show you what I'm talking about there at this time. Don't lose your place there. I'm going back to it. Yochanan 17. The son of perdition and the man of sin, or as some excellent versions, the lawless man. The lawless man also is meant in this. They're quoting the Hebrew word that is actually translated here in Thessalonians now. They're quoting the Hebrew word. Well, you know, they try to get you to believe that it was written in Greek or Aramaic. But it was actually, and the scholars know this, they know that it was written in Hebrew. But they say, the lawless man, as you see in verse 8. Let's go on back to 2 Thessalonians, verse 8. And then that lawless man, lawless one, and that's how we translated it, lawless one will be revealed. Well, if you remember now, Isaiah 44, speaking of the two brothers called witnesses, he said, let them foretell this. Let them, which meant he was going to prepare them for that great mission that would be called the house of Yahweh, the great mission that would bring billions of people, the last 2 billion people, known as the quartet. Now, if you go back up no, wait a minute. Let's keep going. It says, it is also remarkable that the wicked, they call them Jews, are styled by Isaiah. I'm always intrigued when they quote something from Isaiah, because Isaiah almost totally is about, let's turn over to chapter 1. Almost totally about the two witnesses and the work of Yeshua in these last days. Of course, the others are more so too than you would ever imagine, the other prophets. But Isaiah, the total book is about this and the Babylonian system that we would be fighting in this time period in bringing this message to the world. And of course, the message going to the world doesn't depend on how many people we got. You know, Yahweh won't stop this work. He won't allow it to be stopped. So the man that withholds his tithes from this work is just cutting his throat to spite his belly, but it won't stop the work. There was a school teacher, two school teachers, in fact, that came here when we were still at the press room. And they wanted to bring a stinking doctrine in that would stunk worse than a skunk in the house of Yahweh. And they said, they let it be known that I wouldn't kick them out because they paid too much tithe. Well, I've never kicked anybody out of the house of Yahweh, but I do insist on, you know, the total truth being taught in the house of Yahweh. And the counselors do that. The counselors, the priests. I'm talking about the Kohans and the Kohanas, and they insist on it. And they must insist on it. But they said, I wouldn't kick them out. Well, I thought, you know, I don't even pay attention to tithing unless someone starts to fall away. And then I check and I'm surprised they never did pay any tithe, you know. They've been stealing from the house all this time that they've been sitting here in bodily form. And I'm thinking that all these elders that fell away, they probably never did tithe to the house, never did tithe to the work in Samuel's day. And they came to Samuel and said, we want this king like all other nations. We want to be just like the other nations, which that's what they did. But he says here, it is also remarkable that the wicked Jews are styled with this same word. And he gives Isaiah 1 and verse 4 where it says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. And there's your word right there. The father of iniquity, a seed of evildoers, like Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus Christ. The gods that the world, the Christian world follows now, and don't even know where those names came from. It didn't come from the Holy Scriptures. But in order to be a leader in this time period in the house of Yahweh, the person teaching would have to know that. And know that you would not be praying in the name of Jesus Christ, which was, he was born in Rome. Both gods were born in Rome. It was put together, the two of them put together as one God in Rome. There's actually born in Egypt, but the gods that was put together by Constantine, their names, was done in Rome before the King James Version came out, and that's the reason that I think that all of this was done, so it would be put into the King James Version as another deception. And of course, that had to be taught. You know how few people would know that today? But anyway, here we have the sinful nation now back here that Yahweh says, you're the only ones the only family I'm dealing with, and I will have no other work except that I prophesy. None, it won't be of me. It won't have salvation for you. Won't save anyone. That's what it means. Amos 3:7. I will have nothing to do with it, he said. And then he's talking about this sinful nation, verse 1, Judah and Jerusalem, and they're called here the son of Satan, the sons of Satan. Well, of course, Yeshua showed that too. And then the apostle Shaul, written to the book of Romans, said, don't you know that you belong to whom you obey? Whether sin, which leads to death, plus the second death, or obedience. Obedience? Obedience. That's the word that people hate. Obedience to the priest. Go to the priest. Seek first the kingdom. Seek the place where I choose to establish my name. There go and be obedient. And that's the way to salvation. Any other way is not salvation. That's simple, isn't it? Go to the place, be obedient. That's all you have to do. And you'll receive salvation. Ah, sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Now, this is going back now to Genesis 49. Remember the seed. A seed of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken Yahweh. Remember Samuel, what he said to Samuel. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. This is written wrong. They have gone away backwards, stepping backwards. You see, taking one step backwards, one forward, and two step backwards. Children of perdition, it says, is what this word means. Persons who destroy themselves and destroy others. Well, that's what we see going on in the world today. The article, War. Now, this just came out 5:14. The article came out 5:13. It says, War for American hearts and minds rages over Islam. Terror threats or peaceful religion. Both sides fight it out on small battlefields. Though the 9/11 attacks by Islamic extremists are almost 10 years past, and Al-Qaeda boss Osama bin Laden is dead, the American debate over Islam is still raging, as evidenced by numerous conflicts over public events around the country. The battle, a kind of holy war for American hearts and minds, features a changing cast of plays, but they typically array some of the dozens of groups depicted as exposing the threat of radical Islam in the U.S. against dozens of others established to protect the rights of Muslims or Muslim Americans and defend their religion as peaceful. This was dying down. And then, of course, it was almost like a playwright. like the death of Osama bin Laden, and certain things are coming out about it, like he was killed 6 years before this, and it was proven by some doctors that he was killed 6 years before this. So the setup that took place here a few days ago was not Osama bin Laden, but somebody else whom they put in order to stir this problem to back up again, which this is what it's producing. It's producing retaliation, or at least that's what they say it's producing. Now we don't know whether the retaliators are paid to do what they're doing, or whether it's true. We don't even know whether or not who it is that's putting on the show, or who's backing it, who's paying for it to be done. But we see it starting to build. So we do know that Satan is behind this. And if you remember Isaiah 14 showing that she is actually the one that makes the earth to tremble and destroys it. But there's a scripture there that says she won't let the oppressed go free, which means she's keeping, as Yahshua said, keeping these people under her thumb to where she can use them to make them do what she wants them to do. As Yahshua said, she is your teacher, and whatever she tells you to do, that is what you're going to do. Showing that she has control of the minds of those who serve her. And the only way you can break that, right, praise Yahweh. The only way you can break that control is repent of sin, which breaks you loose from Satan. But you've got to repent of sin and then start working towards conversion, so then you will be claimed by Yahweh himself. Once you start working towards conversion, the first step being keeping the Sabbath at his house. And then you will be classified as belonging to Yahweh, part of his house. This is what distinguishes them, as Yochanan 3:10, I believe it is. This is what manifests, as the King James Version says, the people of Yahweh from the people of Satan. Is that practice, start practicing the laws of Yahweh. Okay, this Charles Kruzman, a professor of sociology at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, says the clashes over Oslam point to two powerful prevailing currents. One trend is heightened alarm and suspicion. Did you get that? One of the trends here is heightened alarm and suspicion on the part of people concerned about domestic security. I don't hear anybody saying they're concerned about domestic security except the news media. And I do talk to people. In fact, I talk to them quite a bit. They call me all the time. And not once has anyone ever called me and said, Israel, I am so concerned about this domestic security. You know, I'm just afraid I can't go to sleep of a night. No, it's never occurred. Do you know anyone that's concerned about domestic security? If I were living in a house full of Muslims, I'd not be concerned about a domestic security. Maybe some uncleanness, but not domestic security. So something has got to be taking place here, like took place in Egypt, to get the man out of office, the king out of office, so the country could be taken over. Now in Libya, where is it? Syria, different places throughout the world. It was tried in a couple of other places like China, but it failed. But the trend, this is one of the trends, is to heighten this alarm and suspicion against Muslims, like saying, well, you know, my daughter went missing, or this 12-year-old girl went missing. She was last seen here by this group of Jews. Now, I hear tell that several young people have disappeared here, and they never found a trace of them. These people make dog food. See, that's supposed to put the thought in your mind. Well, it's an old trick of Satan that the Catholic Church has used, that Malachi Martin now brought this out. And they said now, Malachi Martin said that the Catholic Church uses the news media to heighten suspicion or whatever else they want to accomplish. Well, right now they're wanting to make war against all holiness, as 2 Thessalonians here shows, coming against this man of sin or the children who are of the 12 tribes now that the Apostle Shaul is speaking of here in 2 Thessalonians, but they're the ones that have turned against Yahweh and have turned to sin. He says the other trend is increased assertiveness and political activism on the part of the Muslims. Well, the article is quite lengthy, but the whole thing teaches that is about this same thing, and this is what we see here. And this person now exalts, opposes and exalts himself. He stands against and exalts himself above all everything that is holy and any authority. Now, would you keep this in mind right here, because they're trying right now to make Pope John Paul what they call a saint. Now, what this means is, I'll show you this in history next week when I cover more of this, but what this means is they're going to make this man a Lord or God. Remember where the Lord came from, the dead rabbis? Well, now the supreme lords now, they became gods. Now they joined a group of gods, it is supposed, heavenly gods who were the sons of Yahweh who turned against Yahweh. And of course, that's what Yeshua showed that they were following. It's called a troop. In prophecy, it's called a troop in Genesis. And you find it under the name Gad, of course. And Yahweh says, in that same prophecy now, and remember this, because this is where we tie Yeshua to this group, and of course the horns of the incense altar in this time period. He has already sacrificed on the altar of sacrifice, and then in this state then is where Gad prevails at last. He will be loser at first, but he will win out at last. That is, he will, in this last time period, there will be a group of that seed come forth to salvation in the quartet. And praise Yahweh. And above every form of holiness, he'll stand against every form of holiness, which that is what he's doing. They're coming against circumcision now, trying to get laws passed against it. One state I was reading about this morning has passed a law now that there's no such thing as illegal arrest. Police can come into their homes without a warrant, make illegal arrest. You still have the right to defend yourself in court. What a laugh. They will still not let the oppressed go free or their prisoners go free. Everything relative to Yahweh's worship. They're attacking everything relative to Yahweh's worship, himself being the source himself. That is, they're making the Pope the source of authority, whence must originate all the doctrines of religion and all its rites and ceremonies, so that sitting in the temple of Yahweh, having the highest place and authority, he acts as Yahweh, taking upon himself Yahweh's title, attributes, arrogating to himself the authority that belongs to the Most High. Well, that's what this verse 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, shows right there. And this is what is taking place. We see the every form of holiness being fought against. It started, if you remember, with the wearing of veils. And then in Canada, I told you about the Canadian hot links that my mother would, that was one of the few things that mother would allow, prepared foods being brought into the house, because it was put out by people who were kosher, supposed to be kosher, and it was supposed to be a kosher food. And then a law being passed recently now, not too many years ago, to where they had to add, the government added this law to where they had to put so much pork in everything that they, every meat that they produced, it had to have so much pork in it. So that, of course, is when we stopped buying the hot links from Canada, the kosher hot links from Canada. I praise Yahweh that he gave them back to me here on grounds. If you haven't eaten that, I tell you, you won't want to quit eating it. You'll be like I was when I bought the 5 pounds and I was coming back and I could eat like a horse at that time. And I was skin and bone, but I could eat a gallon of food anytime. But also, I'm told we have the sandwich bologna out now that is also outstanding. The smaller franks for the older people who can't eat too much now anymore. We got it all. Blessing right here in front of our enemies, brother. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.